I'm an alcoholic. My name is John. I've done this process as it's laid out in this book, and I'm a member of this, the Responsible Men's Big Book Group. I did my fifth step quite a while ago with my, well, actually not with my sponsor, with another member of this group. You know, when I got sober, I walked into this meeting once, and I walked out, and I wasn't coming back. And I believe it was the next Saturday night, I turned around and I asked a member of this group who was sitting with my friend Dale M, Don, to be my sponsor, because I'd been hearing all around the meetings that I needed a sponsor. And so Don told me that I would be going that I would be going to the Thursday night men's big book, and that I was to join that group. So that's how I got into that, and coming to the up to the college at the time. That's how I got going to there. You know, I was like a lot of guys. I went to different meetings, and a lot of different people told me not to go to this group. And today, I can't even imagine what my life would be like if I hadn't. So, you know, I was wrapping up my fourth step, working with Don, and he just happened to have an opportunity to work outside the country. And I think I was just about done. I don't know. I think I was finished with my resentments, and I was going into the fears. So I got another member of this group, and wrote my fears, wrote my sex conduct, wrote a Dear God letter, and got busy, you know. And I remember riding in this guy's truck. He would pick me up for the meeting, and I would ride in his truck, and we would talk, you know. And it was important for me to be able to trust this guy, you know. And I think that was the biggest thing for me. Two things was to be able to trust somebody, and second thing was to get honest with myself. You know, for years before I got into Alcoholics Anonymous, I couldn't get honest with myself about my drinking problem and about my all the other problems that I had. So when I got to this step, it was really important for me to be honest completely and thoroughly. You know, I remember Don saying it to me, remember several times, thorough and honest, you know, and that's what I tried to do in writing my fourth step. You know, I mean, I was 3 months sober when I started writing, and I don't know exactly how long it took me. Probably took me about 5 months. I was on a very strict schedule, so I wrote a lot. I didn't take any breaks. I didn't put the pen down. I didn't pick up a girlfriend. All I did was write and go to meetings. And, you know, within 10 months, I was out. I was doing my fifth step. And I was mentally, I was a squash. I had really nothing going on. My brain was, you know, all I was doing is staying sober and going to meetings. So, you know, when I got my fourth step out and I met with this guy to do my fifth step, we said the third step prayer. We took a moment or two of silence. We put a chair in the room for God. I laid out my books, and I started reading. And basically what he told me was to read every word on the paper as I had written it. And that's what I did. I read one word. I read the resentment. I read what it affected. I read the name first. I read the resentment. I read what it affected. And then I did the turnaround, where was I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and fright. And right away, you know, he started asking me questions. And so we stopped, and I'm like, with the way I did it, I did my family first, and I believe my father was first. And so he questioned me quite a bit about certain things, and to him, things weren't adding up. So basically what he did was he sent me back to do over my family. And in hindsight, you know, the way I looked at it when I was writing was that I felt I had done enough damage to my family, especially my parents, that I really didn't need to write all these resentments and put them through that again, you know. And I wasn't putting them through it. I was putting myself through it. So what I did is I went back to my writing. I did my family, especially my parents, over again. I added I don't know how many resentments towards my father, quite a few. I would say it was somewhere around 20 or 30. It was very difficult. You know, I can remember being in my room. I was in this particular house that I'm living in now. And, you know, I was getting stuck a lot. And like you hear in this meeting, if you get stuck writing, what do you do? And I did exactly what I was supposed to do. I would get back down on my knees. I would ask for help. I would ask God to help me put the pen to paper, write this fourth step the best of his, to his ability, not my own. And I would get back up and start writing again. And I would get stuck again. And I remember a time when I just stayed down on my knees and wrote it on my knees. And, you know, two things. I was that desperate to finish this thing. And I was that desperate to get it done thoroughly and honestly. You know, to think that I had that type of an excuse, that I didn't want to put my parents through that kind of pain and suffering. Well, you know, I wasn't putting them through it. I already had put them through it. And it was just, you know, some kind of alcoholic brain giving me some kind of bullshit excuse. So that's what I did. I finished that up. We met again and we did the same thing over again. And I read word for word what was in my fourth step. So, you know, I went line by line, name by name, resentment by resentment. I had it all laid out. I had it laid out fairly well. I didn't get stuck too often, and I just kept reading. I did this down in Chatham, this guy's apartment. And I think, if I can remember correctly, I did it, I think it was 6-hour sessions. We did 3 6-hour sessions. So I think it took me approximately 18 hours, which doesn't really mean much. Other than that, it was just 18 hours. You know, when we finished, he shook my hand. I don't think he welcomed me to AA, but you know, he just, he said, "Congratulations, you're done." And I went outside and I was really grateful. I was grateful for a couple things. I was grateful I was done. You know, in hindsight, in a few days after that, it dawned upon me that, you know, I had finally finished something, you know. I was the type of guy that would start something and never finish it. I'd start a project and it wouldn't get done. You know, this fourth and fifth step, I started it and I finished it. It was very relieving to be done. On the other hand, I got a good chunk of truth about who I was and the type of person I was and why I did things the way I did. And I got a little taste of honesty in that. And it was disturbing. It was really disturbing. I didn't like it. I wasn't comfortable with it. You know, but I was happy I was done. So I moved on. For me, you know, I trusted that guy that he will never, ever say anything. Not that anything I wrote or spoke in my fifth step is really that important. It really isn't, you know. But, you know, it was a lesson for me. It was a lesson for me, you know, when I talked to my sponsor, after that, you know, we discussed the fifth step in detail. And, you know, the fact that if you're ever given the opportunity to do a fifth step, at least if I'm given the opportunity to do a fifth step, I always ask myself a question. I ask myself, am I have the ability to keep my mouth shut? Am I going to say something after this fifth step about this particular person that I shouldn't be saying, you know? And to me, it's that serious. It's, you know, it's a matter of life and death to me. That's what this doing these steps was. Because when I walked in here, I was a shell of a person. I was full of fear. I was full of despair. I would say I was very close to suicide. I had a nice 12-gauge shotgun in my room that I knew would do the job nicely. And, you know, and I knew I was a really sick guy. And I wanted to get better. And for me, like, one of the things that I used to pray for would be, I would ask God to help me be the man that he wanted me to be, you know, to make me into the man that he wanted me to be. So that was a prayer that I used to use. When I was done with this, this guy pointed out to me the last page we read, and he said, "Read the last chapter. Go home and read the last chapter." And that's what I did. I went home. I don't know if I took the book down from the shelf or not, but I knew there was nobody home besides the dog. I went home. I sat in my bedroom for a while. I prayed beside my bed for an hour. I reviewed the first five proposals, the first five steps. And as I got to the fourth step, a name popped into my head. And, you know, I don't know how it happened. It doesn't really matter. But I looked this guy's name up in my fourth step, and his name was there with the resentment beside it. And I didn't have a turnaround for him. So I flipped the page. I wrote his name. I wrote the resentment, what it affected. And I did the turnaround, and I picked up the phone. And I'm not too sure that he was too thrilled to hear me on the phone, but he said, "What's up?" And we discussed it, and I read it out to him. And he said, "Good, anything else?" And I said, "Nope." And he said, "Okay, good night." Hung up the phone. And I was back to doing what I was supposed to be doing in the last part of this step. Returning home, we find a place to be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. You know, when I had started, at this time, I had started to develop a relationship with God, with a higher power that I knew was keeping me sober. You know, I knew that. I was convinced. I was so convinced that, you know, I was willing to bet my life on it. You know, that if I stayed in AA, going to meetings, asking for help, and staying away from the first drink or the first drug, I was going to stay sober. You know, and I was convinced of that. And to me, you know, at 27 years old, at 11 months sober, whatever it was, that to me was the ultimate. I couldn't even fathom how unbelievable that was. You know, I got done with this, went on to the preceding two steps. And, you know, and today, what do I do? You know, one other thing I did do, I had early in sobriety, even a little bit from early in sobriety, I'd met my parents. I was raised with all my siblings, a Catholic. And I had met this priest down in Brewster, through some of my brothers and my parents, and he seemed to be a very nice guy. And my mother would kill me for calling him a guy. He's you call him father. You don't call him anything else. And you know, I met this guy, and I called him up one day after I did my fifth step, and I made an appointment with him to go down there, and I'll never forget it. I drove my Dodge Power Wagon truck into the rectory, and I parked it on, you know, and I went in there and I had a kind of a conversation with him. I did not bring my fourth step with me. I just had a conversation with him. And basically I went over what I had learned in my fourth step, along with the shit that I had done, you know, the stealing, all the crazy fighting and accidents and all that stuff. I laid that all out, received absolution, had a nice discussion with him. I think I was in there about 45 minutes. And I walked out of that rectory, and it was a Thursday night. I was going to my truck, and I was going directly to the men's big book at the college. And I don't know what it was. Actually, I do know what it was. It was the grace of God. You know, I got to my truck, and I just felt like I was in a bubble. I felt the nearness of my Creator, the peace, and the ease of what that God of my understanding presents to me, all around me and all through me. You know, it was quite an experience. You know, and it was 35 years ago, and I can remember like it was yesterday. You know, like it's that vivid. So that was the end of my fifth step. So today, where am I? You know, I just try to remember today that when I'm working with guys, that this stuff is really, really important. You know, when I'm helping a guy to do his fourth or whatever it is, and he gets ready to do his fifth, you know, I don't say a fucking thing. I keep my mouth shut. I don't even let people know I'm doing a fifth step. It's really none of their business, you know? At least I try not to. But I don't talk about what is said in any manner. You know, it's sacred. I really feel it is sacred. Because to me, it's what saved my life. You know, when I first walked in here and I met these guys, you know, there was maybe 25, 30 guys in the room at the time, maybe. The meeting had been going on about 5 years. You know, guys like Greg with it, Dale and Billy and Donnie and Chris and, you know, Jerry and Paul G was there. And these guys were all there, you know. And what I've found since then is that this fellowship, this Big Book Fellowship, it's not the Highness Men's Big Book group. It's any men's or co-ed Big Book group. That's what I say. For me, it's a men's group. I like the men's group. It's the meat. Anywhere I go to a men's Big Book group, I feel like that's like my group. It is what it is. You know, it's not just the Hyannis Big Book group. It's a fellowship. That's how I see it. So this fellowship of men in Alcoholics Anonymous, with, you know, the ability to get a sponsor and follow through with these steps, saved my ass. And it has given me everything I have today. And everything I have today is everything that's within me, you know, is how I behave today. It's how I treat people. It's how I treat myself. You know, it took me years to forgive myself for the shit I did, you know, and, you know, but eventually it did come around, you know, and today I do the same thing today that I did 35 years ago. You know, when I got a sponsor, that sponsor taught me how to stay sober a day at a time. He taught me that I needed to ask for help from a power greater than myself every morning. I choose to call it God, you know. I get up after asking for help. I try to do a period of meditation, and I try to help another alcoholic as my day goes through, you know. And I also run into any other type of people. I try to be helpful and kind to those people. I think that's what I try to do. That's how I try to live this program. And you know, I think back to the people that used to tell me, you know, that I shouldn't go to this group because they're a bunch of body snatchers and they're Nazi big book guys and they won't let me speak. Oh, I didn't want to speak, you know. I'm just eternally grateful for the guys, new and old, who come to this meeting, who help me a day at a time to stay sober. Because, you know, like a lot of us, I think if I hadn't gotten here, I certainly wouldn't have what I have today. And I may not even be alive. So, you know, that's what I'm going to do on the fifth step tonight. I'm looking forward to hear all you guys. And it's really good to be here tonight. Thanks.